You know, last week, listening to Daniel talk about the call to live in the grace of Christ without any pretense, without the need for performance. And the context of this that Daniel talked about was Paul's need to address Peter. You know, Peter was afraid, it says, of what these law-abiding critics would think of him. And so he tried to perform. He tried to look right. And in that, he just got himself in this terrible mess. You know, this week, we continue in the book of Galatians. And we continue in chapter 2 in this same context, and Paul still addressing the Galatians in light of what he has just said to Peter is making this statement about performance. And he actually makes some of the strongest statements probably in all of Scripture. He takes the fullness from the beginning all the way through to the promise of the end, and he encapsulates it in this one statement. You ready? This is what that statement is. If there was any other way for restored relationship with God, Christ died for nothing. That is this confronting statement. So let's take a listen to some of Paul's words in Galatians chapter 2.
I'll be reading Galatians 2:16, verse 20 to 21. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. But no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law can make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die, and Christ died for nothing.
Have you ever felt that desire to be a part of something, but somewhere you just know you're not good enough? That you're not going to measure up, you're not going to meet the standard? You know, it can honestly be about the most awful experience that you can have. I have this experience, and it was me so desperately wanting to be a part of something that felt like it mattered, and yet I honestly didn't have what it took. See, back in high school, and I know that seems like a long time ago, but I went into my year 12 in a new school, and this group of fellas that I was hanging around were all Aussie rules players, and my background had been rugby, and I'd never played Aussie rules in my life, but I wanted to be a part of what these guys were a part of. So the day came that we go out onto the oval, and we just have to prove that we've got what it takes. And I just remember standing in this line, knowing that my turn was coming. And the coach and the assistant coach were standing out off the posts, and they just start kicking balls in. And here's the call. Just catch it. Oh, man. I am just there going, okay, how difficult can it be? I just got to catch that ball. And in comes this spinning missile, and I'm just looking at it going, gosh, I sure hope I can land this thing. And I think the first one probably just hits me in the chest and bounces away, next one in the head, next one in my hands, but I drop it. And then I hear the assistant coach. He turns to the coach and he says, "This kid couldn't catch a cold if he tried." Oh, man. When you hear something like that, it does something in you that just says, man, I'm not good enough. Why even bother? But you know what happened? When it was all said and done, the coach, and I still remember his name, Coach Lego. Coach said, "Tim, you're part of the team." And I realized it wasn't what I brought to the team. In fact, most of the time if I was on the field, they tried to keep me out of trouble. But somewhere, Coach Lego saw a need in me, and he invited me to be part of the team. You know, that our team, we went on to win the New South Wales Schoolboys in 1981. You know, I got the picture. I got the jacket that said Lions Cup winners. But it was simply because a coach saw me as needing to be part of this. And he made the way. Not my talent. He made the way. You see, this is actually kind of an analogy of what Paul is talking about. Here's sort of the gospel story in a nutshell, if you will. Lean in. You see, right in the beginning, God, the Creator, creates life, and He says, it's good. And it's to be lived to the full, and it's for you to delight in. But let me decide and show you and lead you in what's right and wrong, or good and evil. But He leaves the decision up to us. And we, mankind, decide we're going to do it our way. We think we've got this, God. And in no time at all, it's chaos. We're just doing whatever seems fit to us to do. And the results are pretty destructive, and we still live in this today. You see, but God wants to reveal Himself, so out of all the earth, He makes this invitation to a people group. And He says, my declaration of myself in the earth is going to be through you. But it doesn't turn out to be an easy thing. Because He sort of shows them the standard of right and wrong. What it looks like to walk with Him. And very quickly this law shows up our inability to walk right. And so, in all of the failing, God just continues to show up and invite people to walk with Him. But ultimately, you see, there's this cost to our rejection of His ways, to our rebellion against His standard. And ultimately, it's separation and death. Well, what's the answer? Man, if it's not about me proving how good I am, surely there's something. Yeah, there was. It cost Jesus everything. See, Jesus, the Son of God, completely righteous, enters humanity, lives in a way that reveals the fullness of the character of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the engagement of God. And then He says that He will take upon Himself the sin of the world. All of our rejection, all of our rebellion, all of our shortcomings, all of our failings, all of our inabilities. He says, I'll pay for it. Gosh, this is the love of God and the grace of God. And it's not my ability to do anything. I don't earn it. I don't work for it. I don't prove that I'm good enough. You see, all the way through history, people try to prove that they're good enough. They try to show that they've got what it takes. And in fact, the better they think they're doing, the more judgmental they become of other people who are failing to keep the standard. Oh, what a mess. You see, the invitation of God is this. Hey, accept your own shortcomings. Accept your failures. Accept that you're not good enough. But that I love you. And I invite you to be part of the team, to be part of the family. Not because I see your ability, but because I see your need for belonging, to be a part of my design. You see, in Christ paying the price, in Him choosing death so that we could live, we're actually faced with a decision to either accept that invitation and that provision or reject it and try and prove that I'm still good enough. You see, it's either me trying my own self-righteousness or accepting the righteousness of God as a gift. And it's engaged by faith. God's grace, my choice to believe it, faith. And when that meets, I enter into this fullness of what God's designed, life and freedom. No longer just depends on me. You see, what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 2 is this: it's no longer I that live, but now it's Christ that lives within me. We go back to what Paul said that was read to us earlier. If there was any other way, Christ died for nothing. It was a waste. It's not just one of the many options. It is either the way or it is the waste of the purest and greatest life. So we ask this question. So what's the point of the law? What's the point of this measuring rod, if you would? Well, it's been said like this. The law is the light that shows the dirt in the room. It's not the broom that sweeps it clean. Let me say that again. The law was introduced as the light that showed the dirt in the room, not as the broom that would sweep it clean. And you see, so often that's what we want to do. We think that I'm good enough, I'm able enough, and I'm able to adhere enough that I'll clean up my own life. The Lord just showed us our shortcomings. That was the point of it. It's the sacrifice of Christ that makes us clean when we accept what He has done. You know, let me illustrate it this way. You see, there's people that try to just hold fast to this straight and narrow and never veer one way or the other and hopefully walk this line so tightly and so adherently that they get to the other side and say, look, I did it. Picture it like this, and maybe you can use my ability or lack thereof to show how inadequate we are. You know, a few years ago, my son took up this thing called slacklining. You may be familiar with it, but maybe not. So here's the premise. You sling a piece of webbing between two anchor points and you walk it. Seems pretty simple, but it's not. You see, he tried to get me to do this, and I've given it my best shot, and I'm terrible. I get on it, I get one or two, not even two steps. But some people are amazing at it, and Caleb got great at it. But then he found this new thing called highlining. And highlining is like slacklining. It's on webbing, but it's on webbing that is a whole lot thinner, almost like a tie-down strap. It's very thin. But then they take this, sometimes hundreds of meters in the air, and decide they're going to walk this up there. I'm just thinking, that's madness. But there's this other part to it. It's a harness and a tether. You see, you put this harness on, and then you take a tether and attach it to your harness, and then that attaches to the line. And then there's this security that you actually, if you go one side of the line or the other, this tested tether is going to catch you. Now, there are people who try and do the whole thing on their own. They are these free solo highliners. Their survival is completely dependent upon their ability to walk this line without fault, because the moment you take a step one way or the other, it is over. You know, I'm glad my son chooses to walk with a tether. You know, I guess I picture grace like that tether. That it's not just so dependent upon how well one walks this high line, but rather what you're anchored into. You know, this ring that attaches to the high line is on that line permanently. You choose whether you're going to link into it or not. And it trails behind you as you walk this line. And if you fall, it's got you. And I really think that that's what gives my son the freedom to try some of these somewhat crazy things that he does. Like surfing a line. Hundreds of feet above the ground, swinging to and fro. There's something, I'm sure, about the adrenaline and the challenge and the ability and the mindset and the core and all of that coming together. But his trust is not just in his ability to walk it infallibly. It is in the fact that this line is there. It sets him free to experience the fullness of what this is. You know, I've asked Craig if he would take a few moments to lead us into this song that's just called Freedom. It says there's freedom in your presence, Lord. There's real liberty. And so these things that I've been talking about, I wonder if you can just watch some of these visuals and listen to the words of this song. But picture yourself and ask yourself the question, what are you relying on, your ability to toe the line, or this attachment of grace by faith that enables us to be secure and free?
There's no wall you won't tear down. There's no chain you won't break. There's no heart that's too broken. There's no burden of ours that's too great. Thank you.
You know, how good are the words to that, that we're called to liberty, we're called to freedom. And I hope you see some of that analogy. Every time I see it, every time I see him fall, there's a little bit of me that just gets this sense of angst, I guess, and my hands sweat a little bit. And I'm not sure that he's ever going to get me up there. I know he'd like to. But I tell you, if I do, I most assuredly will have that tether on. You see, in this life that I live now, I live confidently engaged in a beautiful sense of liberty, because of the faith I have in the grace of God in Christ that keeps me. It's my anchor. If we go back a few weeks, as we introduced Galatians, I used that term. It allows me the security to live life freely, as God designed it to be done. You see, it's Christ living in me and through me. And in that, I enter into the fullness of what God invited me to be part of his family. Doesn't depend on how well I do it, but what Christ has done. And here's the invitation. You can too. You can live fearlessly in the grace of Jesus. You don't have to worry about, can you do it well enough? Have I done it well enough? No. You see, the Bible says this, we've all come short. We've all sinned. We've all failed. But in Christ, we can all be reconciled to God. What does it take? Recognizing that you need him. Recognizing that you can't do it alone. You've wavered one way or the other. Surely if it was the slack line of life, you'd be lying on the ground right there with me. But the tether of grace on that high line of life assures you of your place in the family of God. And so if you want to, right where you are, you can say, God, hey, I recognize my need for you. I can't do it alone. I want to accept that you're willing to forgive me, that Jesus paid the price for me that sets me free. And God, I accept your gift of grace, liberty, forgiveness, and life. Let's walk it together. Let's not measure ourselves by just what we can do or condemn ourselves by what we failed to do. But lock in to that tether of grace that sets us free. God bless you. And may you find joy in that this week. See you soon.